Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Chulin Daf Pei Dalet. We begin right on top. And it connects to yesterday, so it's the middle of a discussion here. Okay, let's start back, refer back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah we learned that the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam, right, the mitzvah to cover the blood of a chaya that was shechted, or a bird that was shechted, to cover it with offer, with earth, is a mitzvah that applies strictly to chulin, a privately owned animal. Avalei b'mukdashim, says the Mishnah, but not to hekdesh. And the question was why. So, in terms of kachem mizbeach, if you have a bird that was brought as a korban, the issue there was that the blood of the, let's say, of, you know, of the chatas bird, it's meant to land on the mizbeach rather than on a layer of earth, which kisi hadam would require. It has to be sandwiched, enveloped between two layers of earth. You can't put earth on the mizbeach, as we discussed yesterday. But then the question was, fine, after it lands on the mizbeach, scrape it off, and then cover it with earth. So we left off with that question, and we shifted gears. Okay, you're right. If it's a carbon kachim mizbeach, yeah, it would need kisi hadam, at least according to this approach in the Gemara. Later, you know, the Gemara will change. This is the first of three approaches. So kachim mizbeach, yeah, would be included in the mitzvah of kisi hadam, but we're not speaking about kachim mizbeach, we're speaking about kachim bedek habayis. So it's something owned by the, you know, Beis HaMikdash treasury. You have no right to do shechita. If you do shechita on it, it's forbidden. It becomes asur, and something which is asur, b'hano, wouldn't qualify for kisi adam. You know why? Rashi explains, because in order to trigger the obligation of kisi adam, you need to have a proper shechita, a shechita which produces edible materials, which this doesn't. So that explains why kachay bedek habayis are excluded, are exempted from kisui adam. Okay, continues the Gemara on Pei Daled Amud Aleph, right on top. V'lefirkinu, I understand it in its current state, it's not edible. You can't divert, you know, Beis HaMikdash property for personal use. You can't eat it. You can't eat it. It's not a proper shechit. Not a proper shechit. Don't kisui adam. Redeem it. Here's $5. Take the bird. In which case now it becomes edible. V'lefirkinu, and then v'lechsinu, cover the blood. Answer is, that's not going to work. But in an ha'amada v'haroch, there's a halacha, that in order to redeem animals or birds, ha'amada, you have to have them stand on their own 2 feet or 4 feet. You have to stand up. V'haroch, and then you have to make the appraisal, which you can't do once it's dead. So that precludes kachay bedek habayis from kisui adam, because the shechita is not a shechita ru'uya, and there's no pidyon, because you have to do this, you know, formal appraisal process, which you can't. So we're working with two assumptions. We're combining two factors, two requirements, to produce this exemption. A, for kisi adam, you need shechita ru'uya, shechita which produces edible material, in which case, here it doesn't. B, you need that formal appraisal process, which you can't do. Now, who's speaking in our Mishnah? Who requires these two requirements? There is no such opinion. It's either one or the other. We don't find anybody that holds of both things. Well, come on, who are we going with? Whose shita, whose opinion are we aligned with? Ikar Rav Meir. Are we working with Rav Meir's shita? The Amar, who in fact says that, yeah, hakoil, all types of kachim, even bedek habayis materials, hoyu b'chlal, were included in the requirement of doing this, you know, formal appraisal process, hamada v'arocha. Okay, so that's required. But the other requirement is not in line with Rav Meir. He doesn't need a shechita that produces edible material in order to trigger the chiyuv of kisui hadam. Ha'amar, he tells us shechita she'eina ru'uya, even a shechita which is not ru'i, meaning it's not an edible shechita, such as this one here. Shema shechita counts as a valid shechita regarding kisui hadam. So that won't work. On the other hand, ikar Rav Shimon, perhaps like Rav Shimon, the Amar who says shechita she'eina ru'uya lishma shechita, that unless it's an edible shechita, it's not counted, fine. But the other requirement, he doesn't hold up. Ha'amar, he says, we're never required to go through this formal appraisal process. So, again, this approach in understanding why Bedek HaBayis is excluded is based on a double notion. Shechita Ru'iyo is required, and Hamad HaBarach is required. There's no such opinion found in Shas. Amar Rav Yosef, let me explain to you what's going on. Rebbe, it's Rebbe HaKadosh who comprised the Mishnahs. When he composed the Mishnah, he picked and chose, and he adopted both of these elements. He adopted Rav Shimon's Shechita Ru'uya requirement and adopted Rav Meir's Ha'amada V'aracha requirement. And he combined them, and now you have an exclusion. Rabbi V'nasavla, he attributed his, he aligned his Mishnah, Aliba de Tanoi, based on these two opinions. Regarding Shechita, B'Shechita Sheini Ru'uya, and that he held like Rav Shimon. So like Rav Shimon, there needs to be an edible Shechita, which you don't have by the Kabbites. Oh, they go redeem it. No, you can't redeem it, because Ba'amad V'aracha, regarding the requirement of Ba'amad V'aracha, which you can't do by a dead bird, so look, Rameh adopts Rameh's opinion that it's required and you can't do it. That explains the Mishnah. So according to this approach in the Gemara, when the Mishnah says that Karbanos are exempt from Kisi Adam, it would appear that it's only Bedek HaBayis. It would appear. Yeah, that's only Bedek HaBayis, because the Shechita is not a proper Shechita and redemption is not practical. Whereas by Kachar Bedek HaBayis, there shouldn't be an issue because you can just scrape the blood off the Mizbeach and cover it. But according to the next approach and third approach as well, we have reasons to exempt and to exclude even Karbanos from Kisui Adam. By the same, another approach to the Mishnah is Kulei Rav Shimon. The entire Mishnah is going like Rav Shimon. So theoretically, you can redeem the Kachar Bedek HaBayis after Shechita because you don't need to have him stand up, right? So why then is Bedek HaBayis excluded from Kisui Adam? Kulei Rav Shimon. The answer is like this, Rashani Hocha. Here it's different. In order to trigger the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, it's like a continuum. Shechita straight into Kisui, without interruption. Perhaps it's like you extract the life force of the animal, the bird, during the Shechita, and then you immediately embed the blood which contains that life force back into the earth, la'afar tasha, back into the earth, where it belongs. So it's one continuum without interruption. If you can perform that continuous process, go ahead. Otherwise, it's exempt. If it doesn't conform to this specific model, then there's no mitzvah of Kisui Adam. And that would exclude Bedek HaBayis because you can't stop in the middle and do Pidyon. You're going to have to do Pidyon. In order to obligate him in Kisui, you have to do Shechita, then Pidyon, redeem it, then bury the blood. You can't do that. It interrupts the process. And that's why it's exempted. V'shan Yochad HaMakar, the Pasuk says, V'shafa V'chisa. Spill the blood, do Shechita, and then cover it in a continuous, uninterrupted process. And we learn, Misha Eina Mechusr, only a creature which is not lacking. Elo Shvicha V'chisa, only these two steps, Shechita and the covering of the blood, meaning a situation which only requires two steps, go ahead, do it. Yotzeh, as opposed to the Bedek HaBayis bird, Shemechusr, which is lacking three steps, meaning you would need to do three steps to get there. Shemechus HaShvicha, which is the Shechita, Pidiyah, redemption, and then, finally, V'kisi. That's why it's exempt. Oh, says the Gemara, now we can explain why carbon birds as well are exempt. Not only Vedek Abayis, even Kachem Mizbeach. You know why? Vashta, Aslach, and Adi, you've come to this clarity. I feel Tema Kachem Mizbeach. We can now say that the Mishnah's exemption applies even to carbon birds. As to your question, as to your suggestion, why not? Why just scrape it off the Mizbeach and bury it? No, that interrupts the process. It's lacking in continuum. Mishnah, it's only a chayav if it's lacking two steps, meaning if it only requires two steps in a continuous process, fine. As opposed to the bird on the mizbeach, shemechus shvicha greater v'chisu. You need the shechita, then followed by scraping, which interrupts the process, v'chisu, and finally covering, that's exempt. Mabra v'ashi omar, I'll tell you another reason why kachem mizbeach are exempt from kisu adam. Omar kro, pasuk says, regarding those creatures that are obligated in kisu adam, right? A chaya or a bird. Now we know that you can never bring a chaya type of animal to the mizbeach as a carbon. Only behemoths, animals belonging to that family of that class of animals are suitable for carbon, but not chaya. So since the pasuk puts them together, pairs together chaya oif, we make a comparison, a connection. Ma chaya eina kodesh, just like the chaya discussed in this pasuk, inevitably is not going to be a carbon. You can't have af oif and a kodesh. Likewise, the bird discussed is also not a carbon. So you know, the Torah is exempting any sort of carbon from kisi adam. Ask the Gemara. Well, if you're going to compare it all the way, and say like this: if so, ma chaya shein b'mino kodesh. So just like the chaya mentioned in this pasuk, has no carbon opportunity in its whole type, in its whole class of animals, meaning you'll never find a carbon from chaya, period. Af oiv, shein b'mino kodesh. Likewise, the bird mentioned in this pasuk will only be obligated in kisi adam if it's the type of bird which you can never use for a carbon. As opposed to those two types of birds, we know there are the toirin and the bnei yoina, two types, two variations of birds which are suitable for carbon. So perhaps those two types are exempt from kisi adam, because it's not comparable to the chaya mentioned in this pasuk. Oitzi, I'll exclude toirin and bnei yoina. They should be exempt from kisi adam. You know why? Because they can be used for carbon. Sheyesh b'minan, there is in their type kodesh, a kodesh bird. So perhaps they're totally excluded. No, says the Marloi, kechaya. Again, we are working with a comparison, a matchup to chaya in this pasuk. So you have to learn it like this: ma chaya lo chilakta bo, just like the chaya mentioned in this pasuk, has no differentiations, because there's never going to be a carbon from a chaya. All types of chaya are covered, are included in kisi adam. Likewise, by birds as well. Don't make distinctions between this type of bird and that type of bird. They're all chayev. Okay, so that's comparable to chaya. Chaya is always chayev. Oif is always chayev. But again, it has to be comparable to chaya in terms of not being kodesh. So if practically this bird happens to be kodesh, it's exempt. Okay, so in conclusion, kisi adam only applies to chula, not to mukdashin, according to the first pshat in the Gemara. Only Pelek Abayis is excluded. According to the second Derb Shat, we exclude Kachim Mizbeach. Continues the Gemara. Amar Le Yaakov Mino. There was a person called Yaakov Mino. Some say he wasn't really a min, in contrast to other places in Shas where it refers to a min, a renegade Jew, because here we see that he's relating the respectfully to the halachas in the Torah. Amar Yaakov Mino, he turned to L'Rava. He had a question. Kaimelon. Oh, we have an established fact. We learned this a few weeks ago, right? That the term chaya in the Torah covers chaya and behema, typically. The term behema in the Torah, likewise, covers behema, and it's an umbrella term. Chaya b'chlam behema l'simanim. So the kosher signs that are discussed by behema apply to chaya as well, right? The split hooves, etc.
and vice versa.
So, Eima Nami Behim Chalchayil Kisui. Vice versa as well. Let's assume that Behema is covered by the Chaya obligations as well. So, when the Torah says you must cover the blood of a Chaya, it covers Behema as well. We don't differentiate typically between these two classes of animals. So, why don't we apply Kisui to Behema as well? Amrali says, Alecha Makro, in response to this, the Pasuk says, Ala Eretz Tishpechenu Kamayim, describing the Shechita. But Behema says, spill out the blood like water on the ground. What's the equation? What's the comparison to water? To tell you, ma mayim bo boy kisu, just like you don't cover water, afhai nam alo boy kisu. Likewise, the blood of a behemoth doesn't need kisu. Because it's compared to water. Oh, if it's like water, then you should immerse in it, like a mikvah. It should be a kosher mikvah. Blood of a chai should be kosher. Elamiat, if that's the case, if blood of a behemoth is comparable to water, yat bilu boy. Why can't we use it as a mikvah? Oh, makro. For that, we have another pasuk. Pasuk says, "Ach mayon ubar mikvah mayim yitar." Only a spring of water, only a containment of water. Hani, and these bodies of water are suitable for mikvah midechrim leib, but not other things. Okay, ve'eman amil mutashar mashkin leikru mayim. Okay, excluding other liquids, maybe excluding wine or whatever, which aren't really called water. Aval dam dikri mayim achinami, but perhaps the blood of a behemoth, which we just labeled as mayim, perhaps it is suitable for mikvah. Trei mutiksiv. We have two exclusions in the pasuk, which covers both possibilities. It says mayim mayim, a spring of water, ubar mayim, and a containment of water. Now, actually, the pasuk reads like this: ach mayon ubar mikveh. It says mayon ubar mikveh. Then it says mayim. Mayim follows, so it goes back on both. Mayon is mayim, and mikveh is mayim. You can't use, you know, wine, and nor can you use blood of a behemoth. Well, perhaps both exclusions in the pasuk are not referring to blood of a behemoth. That's suitable. Rather, it's coming to exclude other types of liquids, like wine. Why do we need two exclusions? For two forms. One to exclude zoichlin. If you have the wine like running down into the pit, Rashi brings that by water, which had been drawn in a kli, mayim shuvim. Once you run it down on the ground and let it sort of trickle into, it's called Revi'ah v'Hamshacha. If the mikveh already had mostly rainwater and just needs a little bit to fill it up, you can take even water from a container, spill it on the floor, and have it roll into it. So the pasuk needs to tell you can't do that by other types of juices and liquids. And the other exclusion is to exclude a kapul of other types of liquids. Those are not suitable for mikveh. Perhaps back to our behema blood, maybe that's okay. The answer is we have three Mi'utim in the pasuk, Tlosa, Mi'utik Sivi. Three exclusions to exclude all three options. Because it says, right, it says Mayim Ubar Mikveh, Mayim. So Mayim goes back to Mayim, to Bar, and to Mikveh. To exclude two forms of other juices, trickled and contained, and the Dam of a Behemo. Mayim, Mayim, Ubar, Mayim, Mikveh, Mayim. Tanu Rabba. Okay, now we're going to delve into the psukim that discuss kisui hadam, tanu rabbanan. Asher yotzut, pasuk says, go out and you trap an animal or a bird. After shechita, you cover the blood ba'afar. Tanu rabbanan asher yotzut. What's the point of mentioning, you know, trapping it? What's the difference how you get it? Ein li ela asher yotzut. So perhaps kisui hadam is limited to a trapped animal. But let's say you have it in your backyard, it's already pre-trapped. A creature which is already sort of pre-trapped, a domesticated, a duck, a chicken. Does that require kisui hadam? Sayid. The pasuk says shayotzot sayid. Sayid is an extra expression to cover all these cases. So why does the Torah refer to trapping if it's not really part of the equation? To teach us derech eretz. To teach us normative behavior. Limda Torah Derecher. They're teaching us Derecher. Don't indulge in meat consumption. Shloyechel Adam Basar. A person should not eat meat. Ela b'hazman hazois. Only by way of this preparation, which means like this. As though it's not available to you all the time. As though you have to go and trap it. So be sparse in terms of how you eat your meat. Tanu Rabbanan. Again, we have a pasuk, Hashem will expand your boundaries, you'll settle into Eretz Yisrael, and you go and you'll have this desire of Amarti, you'll say, Uch lebas, let me have some meat. You have desire to eat. Moshe Rabbeinu have to tell you sort of the background of why he's eating it and what's motivating him. Once again, Torah is teaching us our attitude towards eating meat. It shouldn't be, you know, a thrice daily diet. Your daily, you know, main primary fare should not be meat. Meat is something that you have, you know, as an extra. You have a desire, you have a... Lim de Torah derech eretz. Shlo yechel adam basar el te'avayin. Meat is only consumed with te'avayin as of desire, but not as a staple. Yechel yikach adam min ashuk v'yechel. Suppose a person doesn't have his own livestock to shecht. Should he go and buy and go spend extra money and splurge? No, you should shecht your own livestock, meaning don't splurge. Be disciplined in terms of accessing meat. Okay, let's say he has a herd of cattle, a herd of tzayin, of sheep, should go slaughter it all and eat it. Amalayim, once again, be disciplined. Be bekarcha. Me bekarcha. Some of your cattle, v'loy kol bekarcha, not everything. Me tzayincha, from your tzayin, v'loy kol tzayincha, not everything. Mekanavar b'lazer, Nazariah. Based on this, comes Rablazer ben Azariah and teaches us like this. Tone down your diet. Don't go wild, don't splurge. Mishyeshli mana. Person has a mana, small amount of money. Yikach lilifsoi litra yarak. You should subsist on a liter of vegetables, vegetarian. Don't eat beyond your means. Asara mana, you're a wealthy guy. You own 10 mana. Yikach lilifsoi litra dugam. Go up a notch, go up to fish. Chamishi mana, you're super wealthy. Yikach lilifsoi litra basar. Then you can upgrade to meat. Meya money, you're super, super wealthy. You can have meat daily. So live within your means. Yish b'suloy, they should set up for him a pot, kadeira, a pot, b'cholim, have meat every day. So live within your means. V'inuch emas, now the previous fellow who's not going to have it every day, right? The one that's going to have the fish, the one that's going to have the liter of basar. So what do you have it? A Monday, a Wednesday for Shabbos. Vidach emas, me erev Shabbos, erev Shabbos, appear on erev Shabbos once a week for Shabbos. The covered Shabbos. So in general, a person should be sparing with his food intake, with his dietary standards, tone it down, keep it disciplined. Amar Rav, yeah, tzrichen anu lochosh, we have to adhere to this advice, to the rezakah, to the advice that was espoused by the Zaken, the elder. Why was Rabbi Azai called the elder? Farshim explained, based on the whole story back in Brachis, when he was appointed as a very young man of 17, 18, to be the Nasi, be the leader of the yeshiva, and Hashem miraculously made him look older by having him grow, quickly grow, you know, some white hair in his beard. So that's how he got the name Zaken, the elder, who turned into a Zaken instantly. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan responds to Rav's advice. He says, Abba, he called Rav Abba in an endearing way. Abba, mimishpachas briyim hava. He's from a healthy family, you know, Rashi explains. As the generations, you know, proceeded, it went progressively weaker. We got weaker and weaker. Our physical bodies just weakened and weakened and weakened. So Rabbi Yochanan says, look, we can't afford to be so sparing. We have to keep high standards of dietary intake so that we're healthier and we're strong. We need more food, better food than the earlier generations that were able to subsist on low-level diets. But by us, go all out. Don't Don't skimp on food. You have just a pruta, you got a penny, go, spend it. You return the chana, go straight to the grocer and buy food. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman lived in a later generation. He says, by us, it's even worse. If you need to borrow and eat, don't skimp. Because maintaining health is a very, very important priority. Now, the pasuk in Mishlei which describes how a person should conduct his financial matters and support himself in a secure way. It says, you have kvasim, sheep, v'shecha, to be used for garments. What does that mean? Megeis kvasim, yema v'shecha. You shear off the wool and use that to buy, to make garments. So you have an in-house, garment-producing entity. So that's what the pasuk is advising. Go purchase these wool-producing entities. The pasuk continues, Mechir sada atudim. What does that mean? Sell the sada for atudim for animals. La'olam yimkar adam sada. A person should seek to sell, a property. V'yikach atudim to purchase animals. Or provide him with a constant supply of milk and wool, right? Rather than selling the animals and buying real estate, which, is not as reliable. The pasuk says, V'dei chalev izim. It is sufficient for you. It should provide for your needs. The goats, who produce milk. Dayei la'adam. We learn dayei la'adam. It should be sufficient, adequate for a person. She is parnes mechalav gediyim with lime. She b'sech beisei. Right? A person should seek to sustain himself from the sheep and the goats, right, that he has at home, rather than shechting them and eating them. So keep them around to give you parnas. Pasuk says lachmacha for your own diet, lechem beisecha for your family, in that priority, in that sequence. Lachmecha, your own personal food, is a greater priority than your family. You have to look after yourself first. Lach machakayim lach beisech. V'chayim l'narusech. Pasuk continues. You should give life to your youngsters. What does that mean? You should train your family to live a low life, low standards, not to indulge, to get used to luxuries, which will make it very difficult later on. Give life, provide chayim to your youngsters, to your family. Mikan, limda, Torah derecheretz. We learn from here how the Torah is giving us derecheretz advice, wise counsel. Shelo yilamed adam as b'noi basar v'yayin. One should be careful from habitualizing his family in indulging in luxuries, in gourmet food, basar v'yayin, on a regular basis. Rashi says, on the bottom line, teach your family, lamed darkei chayim, teach them the way of life. To live a sustainable life within their budget, this topic, to be satisfied with reasonable standards without indulging. Amar b'yechna, we turn to him advice. A writer says, Asher. Oh, advice to get rich, yasek. Should raise light animals that produce that income. What does the pasuk mean? A tzoyna called ashtoris. It's a lashon of ashiris, of wealth. Shem ashris is baleim. They provide their owners with wealth. Rabbi Yechanan. Some more practical advice from Rabbi Yechanan. Kosa the chorshin. A person should rather drink glass of water offered to him by a cheresh, a sorcerer, despite its evil spirit content, that's less dangerous than drinking, because of the potion, rather than drinking a glass of partially heated water, which attracts the germs and hasn't yet burned it out, hasn't really boiled through. V'anibilat's only concerned with clay matches and metal containers. I will clay cheres, but if it's sitting in a clay container, it's okay. Less lambad, no concern. Clay matches on the amar, even a metal container is only concerned. Litzadi b'tzivi, if he didn't throw in some like grass or added ingredients into the water to neutralize the effect of aval shadi b'tzivi, he threw in the yitzivi. Less lambad is no concern. L'chilay shadi b'tzivi, even without the tzivi, nam lamar, it's only concerned el litzitz if it wasn't. It didn't boil over yet. Aval tzitz, but if it already boiled over, came to a complete boil. Less lamba. So even if it's now, you know, back lukewarm, it's okay because it, you know, already burnt out whatever germs there were. But Rabbi Yochanan, another piece of advice, Rabbi Yochanan, how to preserve one's wealth, how to preserve your money. Mishenechle avav mois. See, your first turn, the opposite, the negative way. Person has too much money. What do you do? How do you splurge it? How do you lose it? As follows. This way you know what not to do in order to preserve your money. Person's father left him a big inheritance, big money, and he didn't really work at it, he didn't work to earn it, so he doesn't care much and he doesn't care about losing it. You do as follows. Wear expensive clothing, gilbash klei pishtan, wear, you know, linen garments, vishtamash klei schuchis, use glassware, expensive glassware. This is very relevant. Hire a contract, hire workers, and do not supervise them. Let them do what they want to do. You'll see how quickly you lose your money. And Mark explains, when he said, Yilboish Klei Pishtan, what type of garments? Bekisnu Remisa, special, you know, Roman linen. The glassware, also super fancy. Yishtamish Klei Tzchuchis, that's Bezugisa Chivrosa, the white glass. V'yiska Payalam Bal Yeshvi Moen, hire workers without supervising them. What's the most extreme type of case? Beturi. Give them, you know, oxen. They have these oxen. They come along with their oxen. And they run around your field. And they can destroy the whole place. And Nafash Psidayu, they can cause great damage. Okay, so on the contrary, if you want to preserve your wealth and your money, use it for good things. Watch out from these... I once heard from a rav. It's a good line. He says, the Gemara brings, the person wants to lose his money. What do? You hire workers, you don't stand out, you know, or it's a shi'abed ma'isav, right? You hire workers, these go pa'alam al yeshivim ma'an. He says, on the other hand, haroitza la'abed chaya, person wants to lose his entire sense of life and well-being and sanity. You know what you should do? Yiska pa'alam, hire workers, v'yeshivim ma'an, try to be on top of you lose everything. So what's the equation? It's either this or that. Okay, in any case, Darash Rebavir. See, he taught us. Sometimes Zimn and Amala, sometimes he quoted Mishmei Rabbi Ami, sometimes the name of Rabbi Yasi, Zimn and Amala Mishmei Rabbi Yasi. My Dechse, what does the Pasuk mean in Tehillim? Toiv ish chayne numalva. Great is the man, good is the man who grants and gives and is generous and lends. Yichalkel dvarav b'mishpat. He conducts his business, he conducts his lifestyle b'mishpat in a calculated, orderly fashion. So he applies it to expenditures. One should seek to be disciplined and worked out, not to go beyond his means. Lo'elom yechal adam yishte. In terms of spending money on food, pachos mimashiyesh, go a notch below what you could afford. You don't have to push yourself to. But in terms of attire and dress and presentation, v'yilbash v'yischase b'mashiyesh, according to your means. This way you're presentable, and perhaps it will beneficial, you know, in terms of business interactions. That's more important. And in terms of family, listen to this. This is the punchline. In terms of caring for one's family, beyond your means. V'yichabed ishto yibanav, in terms of wife and kids, yoyser mashiyish, spend more than you could afford. And Farshim explained, for them it's a need. You know, when you're relying, when they're relying on you, you can't be tight with them. It just, it's not fair. Be generous. Shehein Teluin Boy, it's true, his family is dependent upon him, he has to provide for them. How's he going to get if he can't afford? The answer is, V'utali b'misha amar v'ya'ilam. He's dependent on Hashem, who said v'ya'ilam, created the world, Hashem can do anything. And Farshim explained, don't view it as a luxury. Giving them a bit extra, being generous, being easygoing financially with a wife and kids, is for them a necessity. They shouldn't feel constricted, constrained, tight, pressured. Since it's a necessity, don't worry about it. Hashem will provide it for you like any other necessity. I'll always remember the instructions Rav Belsky Zatzal gave me when I was a chassan. Very simple, he says, never be tight-walleted with your wife and kids. Be generous. Be open. Be a choynein, right? Not to worry, Hashem will take care of you. Okay, Dorash Raveina. Okay, now we go back to Kisi Adam. Here comes an halachic, a deep halachic discussion. Dorash Raveina. So Raveina taught, and where was he standing? A piskel beirish galusa at the entrance to the head of the kehila, you know, in Bavel. Okay, a big chiddush. Listen to this. Hashecha d'chayla b'shabbos. If one needs to do shchita to prepare an animal, to prepare food for a seriously ill person, even on Shabbos, you can do pikuach nefesh. Not only can he do shchita on Shabbos, he can complete the process as well. Chayv l'chaseis, he must cover the blood as well, take out the dirt, cover it, despite the fact that it's Shabbos. Seems like he holds that it's one continuum, it's one process, like we said before. If you can do part A, the Shechita, you can conclude the process by doing the Kisi Adam, despite the fact that it's a Melach on Shabbos. Big Chiddush. And Rabbah took issue. Amar lehu Rabbah. So Rabbah turned to the people. Yishtayma kamar. He's saying something really, you know, Dvar Tema, something extraordinary, which I disagree with. Lishmatua, pull away. La Meiri, his announcer, you know, the Rabbanim used to have an announcer that would, I mean, hey, pull him away from him. He doesn't, it's not correct what he's saying. Desanya. Rabbi Braisa, which disagrees, clearly disagrees. Rabbi Yisiyamir. Okay, so now we veer to a slightly different discussion, but embedded in this brisa, we'll see a reference to this question. Turns out you cannot do kisui on Shabbos, irrespective of whether the shechita was allowed. Rabbi Yisrael, so he speaks about a koi, right? That was the undefined animal. Maybe it's a behemoth, maybe it's a chai. If it's a behemoth, it doesn't require a kisui, only if it's a chai. So what do you do? Ein sheikh naisu b'yamtev. You can't do shkita on yamtev because you don't know whether it requires kisui and whether it justifies moving the earth on yamtev. So you don't do shkita on yamtev. And if he did, okay. So do without the kisui. Vim shachta, if he chose to do shkita, ein machas nastom, you don't do kisui. So although there's a suffix, there's a chance that it might need, no, doesn't justify doing it on yamtev. And it's based on a kal v'chayim. Uma mila. Look, the mitzvah of bris mila. Shavadah deicha Shabbos. When it's certainly required, meaning if it's the eighth day, you do it on Shabbos. Nevertheless, ein sveika deicha yamtev. When you're in a situation where you don't know today's yamtev, you don't know if today's the eighth day or the seventh day, right? Let's say the baby was born in twilight, ben hashman. Ein sveika deicha yamtev. So you can't do mila on yamtev on account of suffix. Certainly, kisi hadam shein vadoi doicha Shabbos. You never have a situation where kisi hadam can be done on Shabbos, even when it's certainly required. You can't do it on Shabbos. Oh, let's just stop for a second. Apparently, he's talking about our case. Well, you did shchita on Shabbos for the chayla. Nevertheless, you cannot do kisi on Shabbos. Okay, that's just the point that we're looking for. Let's just continue. So certainly, if that's not allowed, ein odin. Of course, it goes without saying shein sveika doicha yamtiv. That you may not do kisi adam in a case where it's a suffix like the koi. Hence, Rabbi Yossi establishes his opinion: a koi does not get kisi adam on yamtiv. Okay, Amar Lo, now the Chacham responded and challenged his correlation, his kal v'chomer based on mila. Amar Lo, tkiach shefa begvulim techiach. We can disprove what your logic based on the fact that blowing the shefa outside the Beis HaMikdash, right? So in the Beis HaMikdash, they blew it even on Shabbos, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, you wouldn't blow on Shabbos, only if it's a weekday. So, tkiah shofar b'gvul, blowing the shofar outside the Beis HaMikdash, will disprove your logic. Why? On the one hand, Shein Vada Deicha Shabbos. Even when you know that you're chayev to do it, you can't do it on Shabbos. Usveika Deicha Yomtiv. You can still do it on Yomtiv, even though there's a suffix. What kind of suffix? We'll see later. He's a tumtum, a droginus, not sure if he's a male or female, if he has to do it. You can still do it. So perhaps the Kisi Adam as well, it can be done on Yomtiv, even though it's a suffix. Another challenge to Rabbi Yisrael Kal Vachomer came from Rabbi Elazar Kapper. Heishiv Rabbi Elazar Kapper, Baribi, the great Rabbi Elazar Kapper, Tshuva, he responded, you're comparing Kisei Adam to Mila? Mala Mila Shekein Einan Neheges, but Adam Tov, can't compare it to Mila, which is something that doesn't apply during the night of Yom Tov, you don't do it on the Tov, but Kisei, as opposed to Kisei Adam Shenoyig, Belele Yom Tov, which is performed even the night of Yom Tov, so it has an advantage. Amar Rabbi Abbas, Rabbi Abba responded, he says, oh, I like that argument. Ze'echad min advarim. Interestingly, this Kal Vachomer of Rabbi Yosi, this price was one of the things Shama Rabbi Chia, that on which Rabbi Chia said, "Ein le'alem tshuva." I have no way to refute it, to respond. And here we go. Ve'eshir Rabbi Elazar Kapper bribe tshuva. Rabbi Elazar Kapper responded and refuted the Kal Vachomer. Okay. In any case, what pertains to us is that single line in the price where Rabbi Yosi made reference to doing kisi adam after a shkita on Shabbos. Ptonimius, in any case, it says, Kisei of Dam, Shein Vadoi Deicha Shabbos. Even when it's a Vadai, when it's certainly a Chaya, and there was Shechtan on Shabbos, you don't do Kisei. That's exactly our case. My Vadoi De Kisei, Deloi Deicha Shabbos, what's the Vadai Kisei that he's talking about that does not override Shabbos? Lav, let's assume a Shechtan to Chelo B'Shabbos, that he Shechted for a sick man. So the Shechita was allowed, but not the Kisei. So you see, they're not connected. No, but then Dabar B'Shechtan, Dabar B'Shechtan, perhaps I'm not speaking that it was justified. Maybe he transgressed Shabbos. He did Shechita for no good reason. And he's talking about that. But in a case where it's a mitzvah to do the Shechita, perhaps you can finish it with a Kisei. No, says the more it can't be that he did an Aver, do me the Mila, because it's comparable to the case of Mila that I referred to. And just like by Mila, Ma Mila Bereshus, Mila is certainly allowed, it's a mitzvah on Shabbos, if it's the 8th day of Kisei, Navi Bereshus. Likewise, the Kisei he's talking about is post Shechita, which was allowed. Okay, so this was used as a refutation to Enes Halacha, that when one Shechts on Shabbos, he can do the Kisei. No, he can't. Okay, let's, once we're on topic, let's go back into this price. Rabbi Yosi had a Kal Vachomer to prove that a Koy, you know, you can't cover the blood on Yom Tov, and it was based on a Kal Vachomer from Mila. Amr Loi, and the Chacham responded, oh, Tkiyas Shefer Begvun Techiach, can disprove this logic based on the Yaloch of Tkiyas Shefer, Shein Vado Deicha Shabbos, Vesveka Deicha Yom Tov, you can't blow it, even though you know it's you know, you're required, because it's Shabbos, you can't do it, but still, you can blow it on Yom Tov, even when it's a Safek. Now, what do they mean you can blow it when it's a Safek? My Sveika, what does it mean it's a Safek? You don't know if you're obligated to kiyashay. What does that mean? Ilay mas safek chol safek yom tiv. We're speaking about the second day of yom tiv, where you don't know whether it's... Sorry, when you have 2 days of yom tiv, you don't know which one is the actual yom tiv. What are we proving from there? Hashta vaday yom tiv dachia safek yom tiv safek chol mibayah. So why are they saying you can't blow? Of course you could if you can blow on a vaday yom tiv. Right? Let's say it's an Eretz Yisrael, it's only 1 day Yom Tov, whatever. You can certainly blow. Shofar, Safek, Yom Tov, Safek, Chol Mibayah. It's a situation where it's a 2 day Yom Tov, you don't know which one is the Rosh Hashanah. Of course you can blow. Well, so what do they mean you can't blow when it's a Safek? We turn to the next page. Ela Safek, Isha, Safek, Isha. Not talking about a Safek in terms of uncertainty, whether it's Yom Tov. We're talking about a person whose gender is unknown. Could be an ish, could be an isha, right? It could be a tumtum, a dragoness, his gender signs are not discernible. So, that's what they're talking about. That on the one hand, we do not blow the shofar outside the Midrash, even on Rosh Hashanah, if it's Shabbos. But still, if it's a weekday, Rosh Hashanah, right? Not a Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. You can blow, even if you're not a Vaday man. A man could certainly blow, but even a person who doesn't know whether he's a man or not, he can still blow, despite the fact that a woman doesn't blow. But he could, because he might be a man, he's chayev. Now, Rabbi Yosi Latamei, Rabbi Yosi, who wasn't concerned about this argument, that's because he holds that even a female, even an Isha, can blow the shofar. You know, it's a big question whether women can actually do mitzvah saseh shazman grama. They're exempt from time-related mitzvahs, like kiyas shofar. Can they do it? Can they say brach, right? He holds, yeah, sure. So, in this case, of course, a Safek Ish, Safek Isha, can blow, no problem. Because even if she's an Isha, she can blow. As opposed to the case of the Kisi Adam that he was talking about, if it's really a behemoth, there's no room for Kisi Adam. So that should not be done on Yom Tov, but this is no problem. Rabbi Yisrael Tamir is in line with his opinion. The Amor who says, Isha Vada is Namitok, even a real woman can blow. The Sani, you have the Big Machlekes, regarding smicha, leaning on the animal before hakrava, where it says bnei Yisrael. Is it limited to males? Bnei Yisrael is samchin. Only they do smicha. Bnei Yisrael, not women. Samchin. So basically, Yom Shemanayim, yeah. They can choose to do smicha. Nashim samchas for sure. They can do smicha if they choose to do. So even if you're not really obligated, you can voluntarily do it. It's not considered like you're, you know, using the animal. It's okay. Likewise, by blowing shofar. She chooses to include herself in the mitzvah. Be my guest. So let's just clarify what's going on. Rabbi Yis sought to prove that when it's a koi, maybe behemah, maybe chai, you can't do kisui on Yom Tov. And he had a kal v'chomer, right? From Bismila. Avada Bismila is deicha Shabbos, but a safek is not deicha Yom Tov. Certainly Kisei, where Vada is not Teicha Shabbos, Safek is not Teicha Yom Tov. Rabbanim responded, Kiyas Shofar, outside the Mikdash. If it's Vada, you can't do on Shabbos, but if it's a Safek, Safek Isha, you can do on Yom Tov. So perhaps the Koi can have Kisei on Yom Tov as well, even though it's a Safek. No, Sir Rabbi Yisi. Kiyas Shofar for a Safek Isha is perfectly fine. Because she can choose, even if she's a real Isha, she can choose to do it. As opposed to Koi, if it's not obligated, it's not obligated. So it can't be done. Ravina adds another point. L'may dekam Rabbanan. Even according to Rabbanan's position, that a woman may not blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah. Nevertheless, the tumtum, who's unsure of his gender, can do the tkiya shofar. Right, that was their argument. So likewise, kisi adam by a safek. Namisle Pirchei can still refute and respond to this argument. Meaning Rabbi Yisi could directly respond as well. As follows. Malot ki ha-shefesh kem ado deich ha-shabbos b'migdash. You can't prove anything from ki ha-shefer, which is done even when it's a safek on Yom Tov, has no relevance to the question of doing kisi adam when it's a safek on Yom Tov. You know what? Ki ha-shefer has one up, has an advantage over Kisi Adam. Malat ki ha-shofar. Shekein vado deich ha-shabbos ha-migdash. Because you know what? In the base of Migdash, you would do it even on Shabbos. When it's vada, you know, certainly chai, right? Tell me about Kisi, as opposed to Kisi Adam, the lesser cloud, which never happens on Shabbos. Even when it's vada chayav. So you can't compare. You can't. Okay, in any case, Heishiv Rablaza Kava Bribi Tshishuva. At the end of the Brisa, we have another response to Rabbi Yisrael from Lezah Kapper. He says, you're proving not to do Kisi Adam by a Safek on Yom Tov based on Kavachemer from Mila? Ma'ala Mila shekein eina neheges b'leil yom tovim. Mila never applies at night, on Yom Tov at night, as opposed to Kisi Adam, which does. Now, what does he mean it doesn't apply Yom Tov at night? You mean to say you could do Mila on a regular night? B'leil yom tovim hudalei naga? Mila doesn't apply during the night of Yom Tov, Bishar Leili Nahago, it applies to in a regular night? What does that mean? Rather, it means like this. Elamah Lamila Shekeinu Neges Belelos Kevi Yomim. It was misquoted. When he said Yom, he didn't say Yom Tov. He said, Mila doesn't apply during nights as it does by day, meaning it's limited to daytime. That was his point. As opposed to Kisi Adam, which is all around the clock. Tovim Kisi Shneg Belelos Kevi Yomim applies at night, just like it applies by day, so it's a more expansive mitzvah, and you can't compare the two. Amar Rab Abba, so that was the conclusion there. Rab Abba says, "Ez echad me'advarim she'amar b'chia, ein li alei ani teshuva." This was one of the things Rab Chia had said. I have no way to respond, meaning I have no I can't really challenge Rabbi Yossi's structure, logical structure. And he responded and he challenged it with this distinction. Okay, in any case, Rabbi Eina had a big chiddush that when one does shechita on Shabbos for a chayli, he may continue and conclude the process with the kisi adam. It's one continuum, it's one experience. And the Gemara actually refuted it from the Braisa. Then we went to a discussion regarding the kisei of a koi, kontra besi, you don't do it on Yom Tov, and there was all kinds of arguments back and forth about that. Okay, regarding kisei adam in general, we have a mitzvah kisei adam, which only applies to chul, not to kachim. We explained many reasons why it wouldn't apply to kachim. We discussed why it doesn't apply to a behema. We discussed the parameters of food consumption, specifically meat accessibility and maintainment of a reasonable, disciplined, responsible lifestyle, including caring for one's family with a generous eye. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.